Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, I'm a tech entrepreneur, I'm a speaker, and a researcher. I am joined by my very good friend and your co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, speaker, and a thought leader. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. Now, our topic for today is this idea that if something costs your mental health, it's not really worth it. So expect to learn what's important, what you may want to avoid, what kind of patients you want to avoid, your daily habits and how those can impact you throughout the day when you're practicing, when you're at home with your family, when you're exercising, any of this stuff. And before we get into this, if you haven't signed up for Lightside Live, that is our 2-day in-person workshop in Irvine, California. Come hang out with us for 2 days. We're going to have so much fun. It is the most transformational course that either of us give. It is so amazing. We get so much great feedback from these courses, and we really just enjoy hanging out with our colleagues and helping them really pursue wellness in dentistry. So, Martin, when you think about this topic, if it costs you your mental health, it isn't worth it. What comes to your mind?
Well, as you were doing the intro, one of the things that came to my mind is sometimes this stuff comes up slowly, right? Like boiling the frog. And so when you ask the question, if it costs you your mental health, you're not, it's not worth it. I think it goes to the idea that we really need to be conscious and cognizant of what's actually going on between our ears. Like, how are we feeling? How are we reacting? Oh my gosh, I didn't realize every time I sat down to look at Instagram, I got anxious. I don't know if that's a good example anyway, but you get the idea. And so I think that if it costs you your mental health, you have to be aware enough to realize what's going on in your own body. Anxiety, tension, becoming short with loved ones or your team, those kind of things.
For me, there's two phrases that I like to live by, okay? The first one is never get on a motorcycle when you're in a hurry. And the second one is, if you hear yourself say, "Yeah, but it's so much money," stop, pause, take some time, and reevaluate the situation. And why I say this is because I've gotten in trouble because of things like this. Especially when you're a dental professional, you're out of school, you've got 500K in loans, you just bought $1 million practice. And this $30,000 case walks into your practice. And you're like, gosh, it's a good case. I could really help this lady. It'll turn out really nice. And on top of that, it's a $30,000 case, right? But as you talk to her, she may be saying, "Well, yeah, I really want to get it done fast. Can we scoot that up? I know you said the lab takes 2 weeks. Can we like rush that? And I know you said it's gonna we I need 6 implants. Can I do it with 4?" You see what I'm saying? And in my case, these were the cases that got me in trouble. And no amount of money was worth me going through burnout.
100%. And so what I'm also hearing you say as part of that is if it's coming up and causing that little voice inside your head, right? And it's kind of butting up against your values. Like you've heard me say before, value conflicts drive stress, right? And so what I heard you say was we got to be careful to understand what our values are, what our boundaries are, so that we're actually not creating the stress for ourselves. Because one could argue that taking that case in your example is creating that stress. Not taking the case, there's a detriment to your bank account potentially, but it's not going to be a detriment to your mental health or your schedule, for example, if the patient becomes a challenge with multiple adjustments or aesthetic try-ins, et cetera.
It's an interesting way of thinking about it, how you said that is like I'm creating the stress for myself by not following my values.
100%.
And I do have to say that there are some cases that, and this happens to every dental professional, you don't know that there's red flags until you're in the middle of it.
They're totally fair. Totally
And
fair.
those are even more challenging.
Yeah.
But I think from these example cases that I've gone through, unfortunately, there were the red flags. Unfortunately, I didn't see them
Yeah.
until I look back in hindsight. Now, one case specifically that I'm thinking of, I had one of my partners, his name's Mark, and he's older than me, 25 years older than me. We originally bought the practice from him. He heard me having a consultation with this patient. And when I went back after the consultation, he said, "Kyle, I would not do that case." And I said, "Mark, what do you mean? Like, it's full mouth implants, and it's she already has the upper ones done. I just need to restore those, and then I'm going to do the lower. I mean, it's going to be a great case, big case. I'll photograph it. It'll look nice on Instagram. I could show it on lectures." And he's like, "I just got a bad feeling from her." And he just walked by, right? Now, he didn't even sit with her for an hour like I did.
Yeah.
And that just shows how much experience can help you in learning from these cases. And at that time, I was out of school maybe 8 years. So it's not like I was a new dentist,
Right.
but I didn't have the awareness. And it ended up costing me, it cost my mental health, really. I mean, it was one of the big cases. It's one of the cases I talk about in Lightside that really brought me down.
Yeah. And I also think, how can we also engage our community to when we get into these kind of challenging cases, through no effort of our own or no fault of our own. Like, I'm thinking actually of a friend of mine who's having a really difficult time right now, who had a patient. By the way, this friend of mine is an extraordinary clinician. All the specialists send cases to them in the community. This is a restorative dentist. And it was a aesthetic case. Patient ended up getting C. diff because of some clindamycin that was totally appropriately prescribed. And then, of course, that's a sad thing. And then all of a sudden the patient discovers they have an autoimmune disease, and now their gingiva is all puffy. And you get the idea here. And this individual was sharing with me how this patient came in with not literally guns blazing, and they're like, "This is your fault. Like, you gave me this autoimmune disease. You did that, blah, 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 blah." And so now the patient's going to a periodontist. And so this friend of mine called up the periodontist and said, "Listen, this is what's going on. By the way, my friend is an extraordinary record keeper. So he had pre-op photos, prep photos, 1 week, 6 weeks, 4 weeks." I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, like, dude, that's amazing." So anyway, and so the periodontist had a lot to go with, and he's like, "Look, I totally got you, and I'm gonna make sure that we shut down these falsehoods right up front." So I think my point in this sharing this story too, relative to creating our own stress, is we got to be careful with certain shortcuts, certain times. Like, if this is what we always do for record keeping, let's not create our own problems by not taking photos that day, right? And leaning into the stress of, "Oh, I'm running behind. Oh, we'll get the photos next time." Well, what happens if there isn't the next time? Or
Yeah,
what happens if something happens,
this is
right?
an unfortunate reality of practicing dentistry in the modern world, and that's not in the only in the U.S. That's in Canada, that's in the U.K., it's in Australia,
Everywhere.
many other countries, right? Is that we do need to practice defensive dentistry,
Yeah,
and I
unfortunately.
wish we didn't. I wish it was like in the 50s when maybe they come in and you shake their hand and that's it. And you don't have to make notes or anything, right? But yeah, if you didn't take that photo showing that there was decay going into the pulp or whatever, I think that me going through the litigation that I went through, and I never had to go to court or anything like that, but we did have patients that we had to basically return money back to. It made me a better dentist. It made me a better dentist because it made me think, is this the next patient? Which, of course, is an annoying way to think, to always think of, is this the next one that's going to sue me? But I'll tell you, My notes were buttoned up.
Yeah.
I did get that photo,
Yeah.
even though there was another
Yeah.
patient waiting.
Yeah. And you know what I'd like to say here at this point, and I think it's an important inflection point, which is this. What if we could flip that script? Because you're absolutely right. We need to practice defensive dentistry 100%. While at the same time, I can't help myself with all my work and happiness and gratitude and positivity. What if we can flip it to, I'm doing this because this is the right thing to do in modern dentistry?
I love that.
Because think about it. If you're sitting here saying to yourself, I got to take these photos in case I get sued, how is your sympathetic nervous system going to be enacted
That's a great point.
versus, hey, I want to take photos because I consider myself a really comprehensive provider that has extensive records. That's why I'm doing it, right?
I love
So I'm
that.
gonna offer that to flip the script, right? Because we're talking about, you know, if it costs your mental health, it isn't worth it. So let's not create our own problem. Let's basically protect ourselves, do the right thing, but focus on doing the right thing versus focusing on the defensive posture.
This is a great mindset shift that you just
Yeah.
picked up
Yeah.
because the result is the same thing. The
Yes,
result
100%.
is I need to take
Yeah.
this photo. I need
Yeah.
to write this note. I need
Yeah.
to make sure I put the implant size into
Yeah.
my chart, etc.
Yeah. And
But the difference of the stress that you'll have by saying, I need to do this because I don't want to get sued, as
right.
opposed to, I need to do this because I'm a responsible, comprehensive dentist.
Yes. Yeah.
One is builds you up and one
Totally.
brings you down.
Totally. It's kind of like working out in a way. Like, why are you working out? Are you working out to get buff? Or are you working out because it's good for your physical health? Or are you working out because it's good for your mental health? Right. And I know we're going to at some point get into negativity in social media, but think about social media. Like, if I want to start working out not comprehensively, consistently, and am I going to expect to look like some like 25-year-old, right? If anybody's gone like on the Lightside website and see pictures of you and me, you're 6 foot whatever, and I'm 5 foot 4, right? Like, we have completely different body types. And so when you go work out, you're going to look different than when I go to work out. And neither is bad, but the point is, what's going to get your you-know-what to the gym? And so what are you going to choose to focus on? So what is it going to get you to consistently take those photos to keep yourself out of trouble so that if something happens, you haven't created your own opportunity for negativity by not doing X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, no, that was a great mindset shift. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think about a lot, and again, this comes from my own experience, is lack of sleep.
Yeah.
If it costs you your mental health, it's not worth it. And the more I prioritized sleep, the better I was mentally.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you how I thought about sleep before burnout. Before burnout, I thought about sleep as something that was necessary, something that I was going to do when I get tired. But if I could grow a little more each day, if I slept 1 hour less, that's not that big of a deal, right? And you do that over time. I mean, there's so much research on this showing that your reaction time is different, that you're less reactive with people, that you can maintain your weight better when you sleep. You're happier. I mean, it's everything. You're healthier. You get cold and flu less. And for me, it was just this thing that I did that ended up really impacting my mental health. And I did it in the name of growth or of getting better at things. I don't know what the word is. So I had like a good reason to not do it. I was up reading articles. I was up watching CE videos.
So, with in working with so many dentist clients as a coach, I've noticed this as a pattern, whether it's doing the kinds of things you were doing and or usually and dealing with practice management kind of stuff. And so what I love to say to my clients is, look, until the day that you retire, you're always going to have something to do when you go to bed. So how can you recraft and reorganize your life Not so that at the end of every day everything is done, because that ain't ever going to happen, but at least everything's accounted for. Now, that's a complete shameless plug for my new online course, but there's something to be said for getting yourself organized enough that things are accounted for, not necessarily done. Because what typically drives the stress, particularly at 2, 3 in the morning, outside of kind of the unhealthy stuff that we all do about worrying about this margin or this shade or whatever, but it's often, oh my gosh, I got to remember to do X, Y, or Z, right? That drives a lot of overwhelm, right? So if we can embrace, because we're talking about mindset shifts, let's just shift the mindset and go, you know what? I'm always going to have something to do, and so I'm no longer going to have my mental health be impacted by worrying about that stuff. I'm going to go about my way to actually wrangle this beast to at least understand what's on my plate and not worry about when I'm going to get it all done, because it always gets done. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to previous episodes where we've talked about the Eisenhower Matrix. And part of that is being aware of what you have to do, my tasks, A to Z, and then reprioritizing them on where they need to go, if they need to be done by you, if they need to be done now, if they need to be done later, if they can be deleted. And I loved how you talked about that too, is just going to bed knowing that you're going to have other things to do. I think it is hard. It's hard for any entrepreneur, any person that is always trying to get better. That is challenging. But I think you're right in the sense of if you put your head down on the pillow and you say, when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to know what I have to do.
100%.
I'm not going to be
100%.
thinking, what was it I was supposed to write? This patient's note. Then I know the lab wanted to talk to me about a case, and one of our hygienists needed to take some time off. What was that stuff? No, these are the things I have to do. Just that change of the mindset can be really powerful.
Yeah, 100%. The book that changed my life in this subject is David Allen's Getting Things Done. And so in the course that I was mentioning, I've kind of taken a lot of his philosophies and I've kind of morphed them from my own experience, deploying them with my own clients, to kind of keep track of everything. Again, not so that everything gets done, but at least everything is accounted for. And I kind of run it through the lens of the Eisenhower matrix relative to stuff I need to get done urgently, stuff I can schedule, stuff I can delegate, or stuff I just need to eliminate out of my life, right? Because like even some of the examples you were mentioning, I need to call the lab, I need to do this, et cetera. Like, why can't within reason and within certain circumstances, why can't your assistant do that? Or why can't your assistant really step into a kind of leadership role within your practice to help guide you to be like, hey, Dr. Stanley, don't forget you need to call Acme Dental Lab about so and so's case. Like, there are different ways that we can approach this, but oftentimes what I find is because we've always done it this way, whatever this way is, we box out even the opportunity to consider that there may be other ways and other opportunities to navigate through this challenging thing that we call dental practice.
Well, there's so many examples of what you just said. We have talked about this before, but little things like taking days off. Who says we have to work 5 days a week? Who says you have to start at 9 and work till 5? We run our own businesses. There's
Absolutely.
so many ways that you can have autonomy and let your practice work for you instead of you working for your practice.
And I think that, because we've talked about this before, I think we've more talked about this in the Lightside Live with, people in person, but, it's okay to grind when you know that there's certain reasons why you're grinding and or certain time frames within which you need to grind, because there are different times in life where different levels of grinding are necessary. I'm going through a time in my life where I need to grind. You and I were just talking before we hit record about, because Kyle and I always schedule multiple days that we record every, at a time. And what did I say? I said, well, I was going to take Friday off, but I guess I'm not. Now, normal Martin, I mean, like normal meaning, you know, normal day to day, would have been like, no. I said I'm taking Friday off. But I'm at a point right now where I got so much going on that I'm okay with doing that because I know that I'm not going to continue to do that in the future. And people might be listening, go, well, that's kind of a nuance. Well, it is a nuance, but it's also very true, right? Because in the same breath, you know, my spouse and I were talking earlier today about the trip to Mexico City we're going to take in December, and we called the travel agent today, and we're going to like make that happen. So it's okay to grind. It's just not okay to make it your daily existence every single day, right?
So well said.
Yeah.
And I think people hear me speak and see my Instagram and think that I'm anti-grinding or
Yeah.
anti-hustle culture, which I am anti-hustle culture,
Yeah.
but I'm not anti-hustling. I mean, if you know me, I hustle. However, I don't hustle 24 hours a day,
Yep.
and I don't
Same.
hustle for years on end. I
Yep.
used to, and guess what that led me to? Burnout, right?
Absolutely.
And how I explain grinding and hustling in the dental world is that we have to grind it from high school until the end of our residency, at least, if not into the first years of our associateship or practice.
Yep.
And by that point, we've been grinding for what, 12 years, maybe? That's all we know. So we
Yep.
think that's normal.
Yep.
So our new normal becomes grinding. So now, if you actually really think you have to grind, you're at like a hyper grinding, if you
Oh,
know what I mean.
100%. Yeah.
And that could, you can't do that forever. It's just like redlining a car. If you redline your car, you know, you put your car in first gear and you go on the freeway every single day, how long is your car going to last? Not very long. It may last a year. It
Yep.
may,
Yeah.
because
No,
especially with
100%.
modern engines, right? It may last a year, but it's not going to be able to do that sustainably.
Yeah.
And I think what you and I talk about that we really want is dentists to have sustainable careers, be
Yeah,
able
and
to do this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
yeah, and I think from a tactical, and even I'll go so far as to say practical perspective. Let's talk about like how to look at things, if you will. I mean, for me, I like to put things in buckets, right? So I like to, you know, bucket my personal life in terms of my marriage, my personal life in terms of my friends. Then I've got my, you know, professional lives and professional friends and, you know, my work activities, if you will. And so when you look at all of those things, you know, and think back to, you know, where do I feel I'm getting a huge mental health cost? And what can I notice about that? And what are the common elements there? And what might I be able to do about it if I feel like there's a huge cost, right? So thinking about your various buckets in life and thinking about the experience of your life and what's going on there relative to mental health costs. And when I say mental health costs, I'm talking about like anxiety, possibly depression, feelings of hopelessness that things are never going to change. What are your thoughts on that?
When you think about grinding, when you think about some of these other topics, what I had to do, I think what it came down to for me was making my mental health more of a priority than almost anything.
Okay, fair.
I
Yeah.
had money as a higher priority than my mental health. I had my ego higher, or how I was perceived by others
Sure.
higher than my mental health. And so that meant my priorities were out of whack, which, by the way, I think we'll do another episode fully on priorities. I think that's a topic we can go very far into. But now that I've gone through burnout, not had my mental health, and realized just how important it is,
Yeah.
that becomes a very high priority for me. Many of you have probably heard that quote that you don't think about your health until you don't have it, right? So there's a lot of people that say, well, I'll work out when I'm dead, you know, I'll work out when,
Yeah.
and then all of a sudden you can't work out. You're too sick to
Yeah.
work out. You would love to have the ability to work out. You get in a car accident, you lose a limb. I mean, it can get bad, right? But that was how mental health was for me, is I didn't know how important it was until I didn't have it. It's like the
Yeah.
old, what is it, Poison song? No, is that Poison? Don't know what you've got till it's gone. Something like
Yeah.
this, but
Yeah.
you don't know what you have until it's gone. And
No,
then
it's
it
true.
becomes a big priority for you.
Well, and if you look at the studies of people that experience life-threatening situations, whether that's devastating diagnoses or experiences like being caught up in a drug cartel shootout in a hotel in Mexico, that would be me. It you know, for many, it reprograms your brain as it relates to priorities, and you kind of wake up and you go, you know what? I'm not going to stress out over that kind of stuff anymore because it's just not worth it to me. You know, I was, I was telling you before we hit record also today that I had this incident earlier this week with one of my computers. I have two for fail-safe reasons, and I was an idiot and I plugged my Mac Mini into two different power sources at the same time, and it went, and luckily it came back to life. But I was very proud of myself that I didn't freak out, because the old me would have been like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Blah 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 blah. The more current me was like, well, I have my hair on purpose. That's what it's there for. Let me keep working with that and let's see what happens with the other. And if I have to get it fixed, I have to get it fixed. So perspective is everything. It really is.
And how do you think you've gotten to that point?
A lot of therapy and a lot of talk
Introspection,
therapy
awareness.
and ketamine therapy with a
Yeah.
company called MindBloom. It's clinical ketamine therapy, not recreational. Don't go there. But it's been a lot of work, and I think that this goes back to one of the concepts I love talking about, which is dental dualism, which is what we're talking about here, which is the idea that all we have to do is focus on practice management and clinical topics, and we'll be successful in practice. Well, we forget that we're the human being in practice, and so if you don't take care of the human being that drives the practice, well, how do you expect a practice to be successful in
Yeah.
however you want to define that? So prioritizing your mental health is really important. But you just made me think about something else, because you were talking about what I'll couch as the habit of grinding through college and dental school and startup and all that kind of stuff. Honestly, I would be willing to bet that there's some people that are listening here that may not even know what fun is anymore,
And
and
may not even know that they're grinding,
that's true too.
too,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
as well.
As your framework Ripple starts, it all starts with realize, right? It's the first element in one of your foundational frameworks in the Lightside Academy, which is realize that you have a challenge, or realize that your life is unbalanced, or realize that when you're interacting with these individuals or going online or grinding, it's making your mental health suffer.
Yeah. And going back to big cases, because I
Yep.
think big cases, it's similar to other things in life. It's like grinding. Grinding in hustle culture and in modern day culture is you get rewarded for that. People say, like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh,
Yeah.
you're a badass. You
Yeah.
only slept for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, he or she works 80 hours a week. They never sleep. I mean, they just eat, think, and bleed their practice, and gosh, that's just amazing, right? And it's given so much importance. It makes you
Yeah.
feel good. It builds your ego, and so you do
Yeah.
it more. And I think big cases are one of these things too. I know when I got into practice, every time I saw a big case, I was like, hey, look at me. You know,
Yeah.
I'm like one of those cool docs on the podium or in the research articles. Like, I can do these big cases. And I have to say, big cases are fucking hard.
Yeah, they are.
And I did a lot of big cases. And I
Yeah.
don't say that as a bragging thing, because a lot of it was a detriment to me.
Sure.
I know a lot of doctors that realize, I don't really want to do big cases. I love doing quadrant dentistry. I love doing singles. I've got my schedule down to work really well. My assistants work really great with that. I can delegate a lot of things. I make more money when I
Yeah.
do single cases. Because here's the other thing with big cases is people think, oh, this is a $10,000 case. I'm gonna make the same amount is gonna be left over. Same amount of profit is gonna be
Nope.
left over. Now, there are doctors that do have the same amount of profit.
Yeah.
However, if you don't do this all the time, you may lose money on that $10,000 case, or you make less money on that $10,000 case than you would on a $2,000 case.
Well, and I will extrapolate what you said. Forget about big cases for a minute. What about different procedures? So you're sitting here going, I've got to do endo because it's a higher value. I've got to place implants. I got to provide Invisalign. Do you? Nobody made up that rule. And you talk to any specialist and they just kind of shake their head because it may take an endodontist 30 minutes to do that molar endo and it's going to take you 2 hours. Well, where's your profit now? And
Yeah.
so, you know, and I bring that up because how is that going to be driving, you know, or costing you your mental health? Because you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be worried about that case the night before, you're going to be thinking, did it go well the next night after, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, not all things are created equal, and success in practice, for the most successful dentist that I've ever seen. And when I say successful, I mean doing what
Holistic.
they want to do and happy. They have boundaries and they're not doing this or that or the third thing, whether that's procedure or case type, because it's just not something they want to do. And so I think that's a huge part of it, that yes, it's the big cases, meaning that they can drive stress, but it's also individualistic procedures that can drive stress that nobody ever said you had to do. You can utilize the services of your specialist in your neighborhood.
I've got two examples of that, one on the specialist side and one on the GP side. So the GP side, I was actually just on a podcast with my friend Rob Ritter and his partner Chris Ramsey. They have a referral-based practice, meaning they refer out everything except for restorative dentistry. And I think how Rob described it today is we focus on from the gum up. So basically, they're doing fillings, inlays, onlays, crowns, bridges, right? Implant crowns. So they don't do extractions, they don't do bone grafts, they don't do endo, they don't do, I mean, anything that is specialist driven, they don't do. And they have an extremely successful practice. They have patients that love them, and they're really freaking good at what they do. Now, I don't want to say that GP shouldn't be doing other stuff because listen, I was one of these GPs in the US that was doing sinusless and bone grafts and sedations and all kinds of stuff, right? But that was what I focused on. And then let's talk about the other side. I have a friend named Matt Kepke, who Martin, I think you may have met in Lightside. And Matt is an oral surgeon. And what was really, really profound was when he got into practice from residency. We became friends when he was in residency. I kind of mentored him throughout as he built a practice. Was he chose to refer out implants. Think of how many people are going to say that is insane. Insane. You're an oral surgeon
I
and you're
actually know
not
another one.
replace implants.
I know another one who does that.
And it made so much sense how he talked to me about it. He said, you know, Kyle, implants are complicated. They have a lot of problems. It's true. It's true. And he said, when I sat down and I looked at my overhead, my time, my risk, my happiness, it made sense to just do dento-alveolar surgery for me.
100%. 100%.
And I was there sometimes. We were at the Seattle Study Club meeting one time, and he would tell another oral surgeon this, and they were like, what? You're insane. But he had his mental health as a priority. This is what I like to do. This is what makes sense for my practice. I may not have as many emergencies, or you know, he had different reasons of why it was important to him. And I love that. And it went against the grain, and it wasn't this typical thing where you're an oral surgeon, so you have to do wisdom teeth and implants and sinus lifts and biopsies, and you have to do orthognathic.
No, that's absolutely fantastic. There's an oral surgeon in Scottsdale who's made the same decision. He does orthognathics, he does trauma call at the local hospital, doesn't do implants, and he's perfectly happy doing it. And he has a really successful practice. So I like what you said as a caveat. It's not that we're sitting here saying you shouldn't do these things. What we're challenging you is to sit back and think about why are you doing or not doing certain things, and how is that affecting your mental health, your level of stress, yes, your financial health, all those kind of things need to be taken into account versus the catch-all, as I like to say, well, I have to do this. Well, who said that, right?
The other way that I see a lot of dentists get in trouble with having their mental health be impacted by things that they do is, for example, starting many practices. So I have one practice and I'm going to start a second one. And that second one does pretty well. And so I'm going to start a third one and I'm going to start a fifth one. Now, don't get me wrong. There's dentists that can do this that don't impact their mental health.
Correct.
However, there's dentists that I know personally, one of them I was just talking to this week, and he has multiple practices, which everyone from the outside would look at and say, oh my gosh, what a great entrepreneur, and he's making so much money. And he was telling me, like, it's mayhem.
Yeah.
He told me, I wish I kind of just had one practice again. I may even consider selling these other practices just to go down to one.
Yeah, I may get myself into trouble here, but I've always been, I have just never understood this. I just don't get it. Now, look, there are times where it makes sense. For example, if you have additional associates and so forth, but there's a lot of specialists I know that have multiple locations. And I kind of look at them and I'm like, well, why? Because there's still only 4 to 5 days in the week, depending on how many days you want to practice. And so even if your primary practice isn't as doing as well financially as you would like, so now you're telling me you're going to incur more debt and have more people on payroll? It just never made any sense to me. But again, that's with certain caveats. I'm just talking about kind of more of a solo or a partnership, like two individuals doing it. It can drive so much stress. And it's like we're talking about making the choice of comprehensive cases, making the choice of doing certain procedures. You just have to sit back and realize and think about, what do I really want to get out of this situation? What's the cost of making the change? What's the cost of staying where I am? What's the gain of making the change? What's the gain of staying where I am? I have this coaching model called the pain gain model. And it's on X and Y axis, where it's current versus future, and it's pain and gain, you know? And I use it all the time. I've used it with family members trying to make decisions, and, you know, just sitting back and thinking to yourself, okay, I'm looking to make this shift, whatever the shift is. You know, what's it costing me to stay where I am? What would it cost me to shift? What's the benefit of staying where I am? What's the benefit of making the shift? And then you look and you analyze, okay, what's the offset of the pain versus gain? And you just need to make a decision of which cost, I'll put that in quotes, are you willing to bear of either staying where you are or making a change.
Yeah. And we've seen this a lot with people that have taken our courses as well, is we have people that, you know, we have people on both sides of the spectrum, meaning one may say, I'm really struggling because I don't have enough new patients. And we have people that are the opposite that'll say, I'm really struggling because I'm booked out 6 months.
Yeah.
And I can't bring in anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
One on Lightside Club that I was thinking of. And most people think, well, if you're booked out so much, like, start another practice. And I would say, well, what if you raised your fees? What if you dropped an insurance?
Correct.
You know, going back to just basics of economy, I guess, right? Like, if you raise your fees, what would happen? You'd lose some of your patients.
Yeah.
But you'd also be making more money, right? It's like, it's the same thing with insurance. There's a lot of people that are afraid to drop insurance. And I know there's certain areas in the country where people feel like they have to take insurance, right? But most dentists that I know that drop insurance do well. They do better, and they do less work for more money.
Yeah. And I think we should also put in the disclaimer there that, and I'm assuming you would agree that based on the people that you know, they're also the ones that have really done a really in-depth analysis to make that decision. And they've made the decision based upon the analysis. And then once they do it, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's based on facts.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Based on, like, numbers, pre-planning.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to one of my clients yesterday, whose hygiene was down by about 3% year over year versus where they need to be. And I said, well, how's the practice doing? And they're like, well, we're up 8%. I'm like, dude, come on, man.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. So mindset is everything.
Yeah, no, mindset is everything for sure. I think this whole idea that I want to get by today in this episode is just there will be things that will tempt you. And it's easier in hindsight, of course, to see these as temptations. But take my advice and Martin's that if you look at it and say, yeah, but I'm going to be miserable, I'll tell you it's not worth it. Because when I was going through burnout, I was making a shit ton of money. I was making a lot of money. I was doing the big cases. I had the celebrity practice. I had so many things that younger dentists have talked to me about that say, oh my gosh, I want that. And it wasn't worth it for me. I lost my mental health because of it.
Absolutely.
And so I just want this to be real. And if you think you want to do big cases, awesome. But know that there's positives and negatives with everything. If you want to work Saturdays, know that there's positives and negatives with anything. If you want to be a speaker, know that there's positives and negatives with everything, right? There's so many different areas in dentistry where you can go, areas where you can make mistakes. And I just want you to know, in my opinion, that if it costs you your mental health long term, it's not worth it.
100%, 100%.
All right. Well, any last words, Martin? Any final thoughts?
It can be easier when kind of you're on the other side of it, regardless
For
of
sure.
what other side you're on, right? And so I do firmly believe one of the kind of prime coaching concepts that I was first taught is, you know, we're all exactly where we're supposed to be, right? And so life is a journey, not a destination. And so be grateful for where you are. Take stock of all the great things that are a part of your life. That doesn't mean that there are other things that aren't so great, yet at the same time, we do need to give respect to the things that are great, right? And so this isn't about walking around with rose-colored glasses, but it's also not the antithesis of walking around with mud-colored glasses either. And so when it comes to thinking about your mental health and really kind of watching out for your own best interest, be mindful of your body, be mindful of your thoughts, be mindful of those thoughts that keep going on and on and on that you can't seem to get control of. And you know, if you're at a point where you are feeling hopeless and you kind of don't know where to go next, there's lots of wonderful mental health professionals in this world, and go seek out some guidance for yourself.
Yeah, great thoughts. Okay, so final words is just if it costs you your mental health, it's not worth it. Okay, and it is much easier to see in hindsight, unfortunately. And some of these lessons that we learn come from being in dark places and learning the hard way. But once you learn the hard way, if you're smart about it, you may not go through that again, which is nice.
100%.
And Martin and I have both been through things like that where we've gone through horrible situations in our lives, but we look back and say, gosh, I really learned a lot. It really changed my priorities. It really changed my daily habits. It really allowed me to elevate above this when the future comes and be aware of this. So just know if you're going through hard times, you're not alone. And I think there's a quote that I just heard of that is, oh, what did it say? Oh, win or learn. Win or learn. I like that.
I
It's
like
like
that.
you win or you learn. That's the way of thinking about life.
That's cool.
Well, if you guys haven't signed up for Lightside Live, make sure you do that. It's such a cool course. Go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You can click on links and you'll find our link for Lightside Live. And you can sign up there. DM me or Martin if you have any questions on that. And if you have any topics you'd like for us to discuss, again, DM us, email us. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com and get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, if you haven't given us a written review, that would mean a lot to us. We do these podcasts as a way of giving out free advice, free content to all of our colleagues. And all that we ask is that you give us a written review. So we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.